Welcome to Frankly Speaking, a public service program of George Mason University, a state university in Northern Virginia. Good morning. I'm Ron Shaka, and with me today is John Lynn of George Mason University. Lynn is an instructor in the physical education department and also a coach for the athletic department. Last spring, Coach Lynn brought George Mason its first ever national championship title. His trap and ski team won the title in the modified clay target division. Lynn himself is also a champion. He won the single shooting title this year for the state of Virginia. Lynn's coaching success comes in a sport that most of us know little about. Although we may have little to say about his sport, most of us find little difficulty commenting on the equipment he uses, guns. Welcome to Frankly Speaking, Coach Lynn.
I'm certainly glad to be here, Ron.
Coach, you have quite an impressive record as a trap and skeet coach and as a shooter. How did you first get interested in shooting?
I think being a Midwesterner originally, Ron, I'd always chased pheasants a lot and had a great time in the field. And when I came to George Mason, I was coaching basketball and cross country and running intramurals and teaching halftime, and I just didn't have time to get to the field anymore. And I found out that going out there and shooting at those clay pigeons, that I could get out there and have some fun and get back in an hour, and that appealed to me, so it kind of came from that aspect.
The sport of trap and skeet, can you tell me a little bit more about it?
Well, they're both shotgun sports, and you shoot at a clay target, which looks something like a cigarette ashtray, round and spins through the air very nicely, and sometimes hard to hit. And in trap, you're using a long-barreled shotgun, 30-32 or 34-inch barrel, and you're shooting essentially at a target that's going away from you at any of 72 angles, and you don't know what angle it's going. Whereas skeet, the target is thrown crossing in front of you, and you're using a short-barreled open choke gun because the target's only 20 yards or so from you. So they're really the exact opposites of the shotgun game.
Coach, you mentioned that you've also coached basketball, baseball, cross-country teams. When did the trap and skeet team get started here at George Mason?
I guess we started around 1970 with just a couple kids as a club sport and got it started that way, and then we added a physical education course or two in it and gradually built it up to the varsity sport status that it is now. But it's just been a gradual 10-year program, and it sure was nice to see a national championship come at the end of that 10 years or so, and we hope we're only getting stronger.
Where along that time period did we gain varsity status?
I guess we gained about 3 years ago. We had a club sport. We sent a couple people to the Collegiate Nationals, and then we gradually got stronger and was able to send a full team to the Collegiate Nationals. And then we had a lot of nice fundraising activities, a gun show that raises us $3,000 or $4,000, and contributions from shooters. And one thing about shooters, they really support their sport well. And we've had guns donated to us, reloaders, money, you name it. And it's really been a nice program all the way around.
Okay, what has the campus community's reaction been to your team?
Oh, I don't think anything but very positive. Just to win a national championship in itself is really great. And we've had a lot of kids. I think I ran like 400 students through our program last year, which is a tremendous amount of new shooters. And I don't think that there's anything that builds discipline and gives a kid confidence quite like the shooting sports. And it's just terrific from that aspect.
You've often compared your sport to the game of golf. What are the similarities there?
Oh, it's so much like golf, it's unbelievable. You know, concentration is a big thing, being able to concentrate on the task at hand or the next bird out, which is very important. Keeping your head on the stock, just like keeping your head down in golf. And just so many similarities to golf, it's unbelievable.
How do you go about putting together a national champion shooting team in an area that might be described as a big city suburb?
We've been very fortunate. Most of our kids have started through our own physical education program and then got interested and would buy their own trap and skeet guns and just keep working. And most of ours are homegrown talent. We do have a few. I got Randy Moeller. I also coach the Junior Olympic team, which is our best five shooters out at Colorado Springs at the Olympic Training Center. So Randy Moeller came in from that program from Minnesota. And now that we are national champions, we got a skeet shooter in from Massachusetts this year, and another one coming in this next year from Oklahoma, and we are getting a very fine national reputation due to this success. But we got our success through homegrown talent, which is really nice.
Coach, what would a normal day's practice constitute for one of your shooters?
Well, we studied the Olympic teams a couple years ago, or two Olympics back, and found out that the shooters, from a cardiovascular standpoint, believe it or not, were in better shape than anybody. They averaged an age from 17 to 33 years of age. They run 7 miles a day, do a lot of weight training, and a lot of psychological work, and they're really in fantastic shape. So our kids are in a running program, and they hit the weights 3 times a week, and they'll shoot depending on their budgets. We don't have money for a lot of practice, so they pretty much have to pay and shoot to practice on their own. But we'll hit as many registered shoots as possible in the summertime, the Maryland State Shoot, the Virginia State Shoot, the Grand American, and there's shoots every weekend someplace. So they'll get a lot of the shooting practice under pressure at these shoots, and it's been very successful for us.
Obviously, your interest is much more than a hobby. How did you get involved at the international level?
I think there's very few good shotgun coaches around, I guess, fortunately, Ron. And with my broad background in sports, having coached college basketball for 13 years and cross country for 8 and baseball for a few and so forth, I had probably the broadest background, and then teach a lot of psychology of sports and that type of thing, which really comes in handy for shooting. And I just kind of naturally gravitated that way, and all of a sudden somebody said, hey, here's a coach and we need him badly, and I was off and running. I coached the Venezuelan Olympic team in the Central American Games in 1980, and like I said, we took our team to Egypt year before last, and I've been at the Olympic Training Center the last 3 years for at least 3 weeks in the summertime, so it's just been a great experience for me.
Coach Lynn's team could someday be affected by gun control legislation that has little or no regard for the sport itself. His shooters would not be the only sportsmen to be adversely affected by gun control laws. Hunters would see their sport become almost obsolete. What kinds of difficulties are out there for those peoples with conflicting interests? Where does a national champion shooting team fit into Northern Virginia's ideas on guns? Let's look at these and a few other ideas on guns. I mentioned earlier that many people have commented on your equipment, even though they know little about your sport. How would you describe Northern Virginia's perception of firearms?
Well, there are some very good shooting programs in Northern Virginia. Fortunately, the high schools have very strong rifle programs, and of course, with a lot of military in the area, it's really a very good shooting area. And with our guns, any guns, I think a lot of it is lack of education and so forth. For instance, a trap gun, it shoots high because you're shooting in a rising target. It's got a long barrel. It's only really good for one thing, and that's breaking a clay target. And I look at them to be exactly the same as a golf club, no better, no worse. But that's what they are to us.
Okay, people's views on guns. Where do you feel that they start?
Well, I think this, again, is an education problem. And when I come from the Midwest, why everybody hunts and so forth, and guns are no problem. But when people are not used to them and not educated in the way to handle them, you're going to have a lot of miscommunication. And then, of course, the news media often plays up the bad use of them. And this hurts all the sportsmen, and it's very unfortunate. But I think we're going to have to rely on a very good educational program. And remember, shooting is an Olympic sport and so forth. It is a sport, and let's concentrate on it from a very positive manner.
Do you feel that the opinion in this area is a good indicator for public opinion throughout the state of Virginia?
No, I would say downstate, where everyone is in the field a lot more and so forth, it would differ. But yet I think this is a good crossroads, let's say, of opinion generally throughout the country.
With interest as widespread as it is, has anti-gun campaigns had any effect on your sport, trap and skeet?
Yes, it has. We used to be able to go buy a trap gun wherever you saw one and could get a good price and buy it. And now we've been affected. We cannot, buy a gun out of state without getting a federal firearms license and transferring it. And it caused some kids not to buy a gun that they could really use in competition or whatever, because they just don't want to go through the rigmarole and so forth, the paperwork to do it. So it has had an effect, but we're still okay. But these things can be dangerous.
As a hunter, you have to deal with anti-hunting proponents. What correlation would you say there is between anti-hunters and anti-gun supporters?
I'd say there's quite a lot, but again, you know, this goes back to education. You know, one thing I'll say for the hunters, they usually put their money where their mouth is. And I know, Ron, you hunt in Pennsylvania, and so do I, and we pay our $60 for that fee. And the only thing I hunt is pheasants up there, so I'm paying about $15, $20 a pound. And that provides for a lot of habitat and a lot of animals. And, you know, the hunters really do a good job and are often mislined.
Okay, the hunters, they have one group that does a good deal of lobbying for them in Washington. Can you tell us a little bit about that?
Well, this is a very tricky question. In fact, I just put it on a test the other day. And the National Rifle Association, which I do a lot of work for in teaching because they govern our Olympic teams and support the international trap and skeet teams, and that's who I teach for. And often they are really, really thought to have a very strong gun lobby when they don't. The Shooting Sports Foundation, which is your gun companies, Winchester, Browning, Remington, of course, have a very strong lobby. But the NRA itself will advise their constituents of who to vote for and whatever, but to actually have a gun lobby, they don't.
Okay. Is it what is being done now to promote hunting and shooting in a more favorable light?
I am really tickled to death now. I have been working the last couple months with a big 4-H project throughout the state of Virginia. And these 4-H projects are going on all over the country, and through good education, and you know, the 4-H itself has some very high ideals and so forth, and they're not just getting kids involved with shooting, but the whole 4-H program as a whole. But it looks like just a super program to include rifle and pistol shooting, shotgun, archery, hunting, trapping, everything. And I think, you know, this is a lot of students involved in 4-H and a lot of kids that can be reached. And I think good education is really the only answer to the shooting and guns and whatever.
Okay, to kind of wrap things up here, what does the future hold for the sport of trap and skeet?
I think it's great because even though we may be losing habitat and hunting, not as many people getting involved in it, it doesn't take much time to get to rifle range or pistol range and to the trap and skeet ranges, and their safety is taught first and foremost, and everybody can get out and shoot and have a great time. And it is Olympic sports. We've done well in rifle and pistol, and the last couple of years really come on in shotgun, and I think there's a great future. I had over 400 students last year alone, and you know, they just love it. I had 60-year-olds that never held a gun before, and you know, when you get out there and watch that clay target break, you know, you instantly know when you did it right, and that's a great feeling for everybody. And they're in the outdoors, and it's a sport that you can enjoy your whole life, and I think people are really missing the boat if they don't try the shooting games.
Well, thank you very much, Coach Lynn, for stopping by and talking today. Good luck with this year's team. Thank you for joining us on Frankly Speaking. I'm Ron Shaka, and my guest today has been John Lynn of George Mason University. Our technician is Donna Ambrosiano. If you have any questions or comments, please call the George Mason Public Relations Office at 323-2138. Join us next week when we'll be discussing the psychology of buying. You've been listening to Frankly Speaking, a public service program produced by George Mason University, the State University in Northern Virginia.